Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing programs to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond.
I'm Robert Sloan, and this is the HBU podcast, Think About It. Today, we are privileged to have Norm Miller, Chairman of the Board of Interstate Batteries, with us. Norm, great to have you on campus. Today, you spoke in our convocation to a packed house of students, faculty, and staff, and so thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you for having me. It was fun. I told them I don't get much of a chance to have young people listen to me, so it was a good thing for me.
I understand that. It seems like we become less relevant the older we get, but actually, to be honest with you, I have found that there's something about this millennial generation. I think they hunger sometimes for hearing from us more mature citizens and older folk. And today, I was in the balcony watching the students, and they were very attentive listening to what you say. So thanks for doing that.
Well, you're welcome. It was a privilege.
You grew up just down the road in Galveston.
Yeah.
And I heard your testimony today. You many wonderful features of it, so feel free to elaborate on any of that. But I remember one thing you said, kind of a critical moment for you, was when you said, in effect, Lord, I can't handle this. I can't do this. Lord, help me. You had a lot by that point, but you were looking for meaning and purpose and fulfillment. Talk about that moment when you cried out to the Lord.
Well, you know, it's, I have to take it back to my youth, if you will, you know, junior high, high school, and being from Galveston. Most people don't have an idea that Galveston was such a unique town in a lot of ways, but it was totally illegal as far as drinking and prostitution and gambling and smuggling, you know, back when the Depression was on and all. My family moved there when I was five. And that was right in the middle, 1943, so it was right in the middle of the war. And Galveston was just big population of service personnel. And so with all the illegal, quote, attributes, it was a hopping kind of town. And I grew up right in the middle of it as a young person. And my dad had a drinking problem, and he had a business right in the middle of the town. I actually got in the battery business. The fact that he has been had a service station garage and all, but also followed up as a good son and started drinking way early and just got off on the whole vein of partying and all, and ended up at 34 is having a drinking problem and had DWIs and stuff that all backed up on me and I blurted out one night, actually one morning, I'm sorry. And that I realized that I was not in control of things, and then also that I was unfulfilled. I was empty after even accomplishing a lot of the goals that I had set for myself that I thought make me happy. And at any rate, I blurted out one morning, God, help me, I can't handle it. And he did. He helped me and directed me to, I went to AA for a couple of months, but I didn't hang in there. And then I got a Christian friend of mine came to me and started telling me about the Bible being the Word of God. So I hit him with prove it. I said, if it's the Word of God, he said, it's the truth. It's God's Word for man. And I said, come on, it's old people, old book, long time ago. And he said, no. I said, well, prove it. And so he came and brought me some material, and so I didn't even open the Bible. I started reading and studying about it to see if it was even worth opening. And I was I was actually kind of blown away about the factual data that for a person with I have a little intellect, and to get into it from that standpoint and prove to myself that it was the truth. It has more basis for belief than any other thing in history.
It's amazing to me. I love hearing you tell that story because I've sometimes heard people say that apologetics, well, mm-hmm. apologetics, of course, it doesn't mean apologizing. It's the classical word that refers to defending the faith or giving an answer for the Christian faith and being able to, in a sense, to provide reasons as to why Scripture would be true or why the Christian faith would be true.
Well, it proved it up to me because I got into antique manuscripts, fulfilled prophecy, and what's the third one? Archaeology. Mm. And so I did kind of a systematic approach to those three things that are used to define all the literature that's accepted as historical truth. Mm. Taught in all the major universities of the world, they go through all of this process. And so I went through that and I thought, wow, hey, I'm going to see what this thing says. So it was after all of that that I opened it.
So you decided that, okay, I can trust this far enough that it's at least worthy of opening and reading it and seeing what it says.
Yeah.
What was that experience like when you first started reading Scripture or having somebody take you through Scripture, maybe?
Yeah. Well, it was interesting, you know, because I came across, of course, you know, seek and shall ye shall find. And so I told God that He was for real, that I'm a seeker and I want to find. And then I ended up in, of all things, I ended up in Galatians. Scripture that says the fruit of the Spirit is peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness. But I didn't even read all of them. I just read the first three.
Yeah.
You know, love, peace, and joy. And I looked at that, and I had set a bunch of goals and was running my life, and I had everything I had it actually, I got it actually early. Now, it wasn't like, you know, Trump or some of these people, you know, I used to use Trump, but I got to quit doing that. Huh? Yeah, give me another name. But anyway, you know, these people that are just search for everything there is and get it. Well, I got mine.
Yeah.
And I was not only fulfilled, but I was anxious.
Hmm.
And I thought, you know, what's life? I thought I was supposed to be happy here.
Hmm.
You know, I had a nice family. Mm-hmm. I had a business, had a house, I had a job with a little title, you know, be somebody. And yet I was getting worse as far as what's the deal here?
Yeah.
And so when I got into the Scripture, you know, I started reading the promises of God. First, I defined that He was. And that He was honest and capable to do what He said. And so then I got into the promises and I started saying, I want this. You know, how do I get it, Lord? What do you want me to do? I want to be fulfilled. I want to be happy. I want to count. I want my life to count. And I was real fortunate because I got hooked up with Search Ministries who specialize in evangelism and discipleship. And so I got schooled in scriptural approach for over 5 years, weekly.
Wow.
And then I also participating in a search program where we were reaching out trying to explain the truth and the promises of Christ.
That's wonderful. You know, when I listened to your testimony, there were several things that stood out to me, which sometimes are separated, but I really liked hearing your story because the Lord just sort of, you might say, naturally or supernaturally put certain things together. Mm-hmm. Well, for example, the fact that, investigating the truth or apologetics, that was important to you.
Oh, yeah.
And then reading the Scriptures and being mentored, we say now, or discipled. Mm-hmm. You said schooled.
Yeah,
that's what discipleship is, being sort of schooled
in
something. So you had Christian friends who came around you.
Yeah, it was primarily a search in the discipleship. But what's interesting is also I got directed or led to a Bible teaching church, and the church taught the Bible expository, which is to me, I enjoy it and embrace it the most. Expository means verse by verse.
Sure.
And like, who's talking, what's the circumstances, what'd they say, and what did it mean then, and what's it mean to me now?
Sure.
And so I got into that, and I got into a couple Bible studies during the week, and the church taught expository preaching in Sunday school. And so in a matter of 5 years, I was going to speak one time, and I added everything up, and I had more hours under teaching than I had in college.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I love preaching. I love hearing preaching, and I love preaching myself. But it's a teaching function. I mean, in expository preaching is not very popular today. Mm-hmm. But expository preaching, whereby you can do it over a large scope, the long story of the Bible, very small and narrow, that is, verse by verse, but tell what the argument is, tell what's being said. I always like to use the expression, I have to know what it said before I can know what it says.
That's good,
to me. So the other thing I liked about your testimony, I want you to comment on this. You pull together apologetics, or defending, investigating the truth, and you pulled that together with discipleship. Sometimes evangelism and discipleship get separated, and really they overlap with each other just almost completely. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you follow Christ, well, you follow Christ, and that's discipleship. The other thing you mentioned, though, and when you mentioned the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, those first three, that you wanted. I want you to tell it, but that loving
you're
God,
doing good.
No, but that loving people and loving God and being loved.
When I got into scriptures and it said, you know, God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, and Christ said the greatest commandment is to love thy Lord, the God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and liken unto that is to love your neighbor as yourself. Mm. And when a person receives Christ, as you well know, at least for my case, I learned it, and that
yes.
God promises to put His Spirit in your heart, and the fruit of embracing and obeying God are those fruits, mm-hmm. which are the peace, love, and joy.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I didn't even see them at the time I was searching. I didn't even see peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Yeah.
So those are the fruits of the Spirit. And I was talking to some people the other day, and I thought, you know, what's going on in the world today?
Yes.
I mean, just the upheaval in every kind of thought, and yet what if we had peace, love, joy, patience, kind, goodness, faithfulness. I was talking to my great grandson too the other day. I told him, Jackie, I said, you know, peace, love, and joy, that's yours.
Yeah.
And then patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness is to God and others.
Yes.
And then self-control is all the issues that we have, you know, which is personal problems, like with me, with the drinking thing and all that. And
sure.
So anyway, it's the truth.
Yeah, it's the truth. Well, that's right. You know, our mission statement here at HBU, you know, think about it on this podcast. Our mission statement is that Jesus Christ is Lord. Of course, that's a scriptural statement, Colossians 1:15 and following. He's Lord over all things visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authority, over the entire created order, whether you can see it or whether you can't see it. So we believe that when you submit to the Lordship of Christ, then everything comes under that umbrella. There's not a square inch of reality outside that. So I remember again from your testimony, hearing you talk to the students, Interstate Batteries, you saw your work, the company, as one of the ways that the Lord would allow you to share faith, it comes under the Lordship of Christ too.
Right. Well, when I got into discipleship, I saw that it was not segmented.
Mm.
That God's direction for me was, you know, 24/7, 365. And so then I praised the fact that I spend as much or more time doing anything in business.
Mm.
And so I told my brother, who had, again, by the way, came to Christ within 6 months, totally separate from me.
Wow.
So we were both running the company. And I said, you know, we need to pray about this, because we could, you know, how far are we going to go with this Christ and Christian thing in business? and said, you know, we could get sued, we could lose employees, we could lose the company.
Sure.
And so we prayed, and you're going to have to help me. Matthew 12:31 in essence, it says that there's another meeting after this.
Yes, exactly.
And so we got to thinking, hey, if we're going to have to stand before God and give an account
right.
of how we lived our life as He expressed to us, then we're going to have to make a decision. We're going to have to decide that are we going to do this in business, and how far are we going to mm-hmm. go? And so we prayed, and God brought us that scripture in Matthew. Mm. And so we just decided that we're going to honor God. What we didn't want to do is if we knew that if we died, we were going to stand before Him, and He's going to say, well, you know, why'd you do what you did?
Yeah.
You know, I was blessing you and helping you. And so we decided that we were going to honor Him, but yet we prayed that we would not be, we wouldn't turn people off, that we
sure.
just would, we'd pray and be winsome. We ask God to help us be winsome, mm. that we don't want to offend any. Now, if people get offended, we don't want that, but if it happens, it happens. But we're sure. asking you not to do it.
Yeah.
And so we'd have a meeting, and people would come in town, or we'd have customers come in town and everything. And so we'd say, well, you know, okay, we're going to start now. We'll start with prayer here. God, help us today for this group we have here, that what we learn, we teach other and help each other, help us in the business. And thank you for them coming here safely and get back home safely. And yeah. bless us and all our families. In Christ's name, amen. Now, item number two is...
and that didn't offend anybody.
Right on. We've never been, that I know of,
right.
that we've never been... confronted or called down about it.
Yeah. And, you know, you have been blessed in business.
No question.
I mean, the company has just grown from successful company and small to successful and large.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, I'd love for you to repeat some of those numbers of the magnitude of it. But being faithful to the Lord is no guarantee that you were going to be successful, but the Lord has blessed you.
Well, you know, that's why that's always a tension.
Mm.
And so we decided that if we were going to embrace Christ based on His direction, then we were going to honor Him.
Yes.
And then we were going to try to be obedient to what He said. And He's, you know, He says, anything you ask for that's within My will, mm-hmm. I'll give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we weren't asking for anything that wasn't one of His will, but we said we'd like to have this. One of the funds, I'll tell you this, we had an advertising deal, and so we were praying about advertising and all, and whether what should we spend some money or whatever. And on Paul Harvey, the radio show, at one time, I don't remember, he had 5 million listeners every day. And so somebody called me on the phone, and they said, did you hear Paul Harvey? And I said, no, what are you talking about? They said, well, yesterday in Milwaukee, somebody drove off into a lake, and they pulled the car out this morning, and lights were on, and its windshield wipers were running. And Paul Harvey said, wow, that must have been some kind of battery. And they said he got so many calls that he just said, you know, I don't know batteries. He said it was an Interstate 24 or something. And the next day.
Oh, my Lord.
And we had prayed for God to give us, we asked Him to give us a great multiple on our advertising dollars.
Wow.
And so, and that happened two or three times. We won an award comparing all batteries, and the comparison was not fair. The people didn't know what they were talking about.
Yeah.
And yet we got this great promotion.
Yeah.
And our battery was a good battery, but they didn't do apple to apple.
Right.
And but anyway, so just things like that. That we've had we started praying every morning, 9 o'clock every morning.
Right.
We had a list, and three of us would go in there, and if we were in town, we'd all go in, and I'd say, you take 1 through 5, I'll take 6 through 10, you take so-and-so, 10 minutes, we'd be out. But it included the employees, bring us the employees that you want to have here.
Mm.
Help us to treat them the way you want us to be treated.
Oh.
We had these things, but it also included, you know, Lord, we're spending money for advertising, we sure would like a great multiple and things like that. And all I can say is God's honored it.
Wow. That's a great story. Tell us about, you've mentioned prayer.
Yes.
It's obviously, I know from what you just said and from some other things, that prayer's been very important to you. Do you mind talking a little bit about your devotional life? I know you read scripture, you've memorized scripture before, uh, you, encouraged your grandchildren to memorize scripture, children. Do you mind talking about your own private life, devotional life?
You know, it's erratic. For the most part, I try to get into scriptures, you know, every day. One thing that I really enjoy is that I do Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. Uh-huh. And the thing that's really interesting, I've got 22 years of every day. Mm. Now, I've missed some days and add them up and catch them up. But for 22 years, I have where I was.
Oh.
So when I get like October the 20th, mm-hmm. then I'll have 22 years of where I was on October 20th. And it's so interesting.
Wow.
I mean, it helps me with my memory and all that. So I like to do that. People would say, who's been your most strongest mentor? And I would say, you know, Oswald Chambers, because I've been in to do that thing, the same book for those years.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I try to do Oswald Chambers, and somebody sent me a little prayer book one time, a daily prayer book with it, just monthly. But a lot of times when I don't feel like praying, conjuring up my prayer, I'll take that and I'll use that and just pray that with it and ask God to please help this be part of me that would impact or please Him that day. I try to pray on the elliptical. I can pray quite a bit. I've got this long list that I've compiled over years of just names.
Sure.
But it's fun too. I started with it years ago, and I've got I was on a Dallas Seminary cruise in over there, wherever, Turkey or wherever it is. And so I got introduced to this guy, and I said, did you live in California and you moved to Dallas? And he said, yeah. And I said, you came to a Bible study one time and you had a problem, some kind of family problem or something. And he said, I wrote it down. And he'd been praying for this guy for 20 something years.
Oh my goodness.
And it was fun. But that's really fun when I run into stuff like that I've covered. And so sometimes I'll cover it sometimes, you know, in a reasonable amount of time. Sometimes it'll take me, you know, it's several pages, but if I do a good elliptical, I can get a bunch. But I pray for the family. I try to pray for the family up front. And the thing that's one that really was significant to me too is that I thought about that I wanted to get answered prayer. So I said, now how do I know I'm gonna get answered prayer? And so God said, like I said earlier, He'd give you anything you ask for that within His will. Mm. So I started praying what He said He wanted.
Mm.
You know, so whatever I read that He wanted, I would ask God, give me that.
Mm.
He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, help me lead people to Christ. Help me be a discipler. Help me be, you know, an example. And I take I'm going to have to stand before God one day. And if He says, why did you do what you did? I would rather say I did it because I thought you wanted me to, rather than, well, I wasn't sure, so I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And so anyway, you know, we're admonished, if that's the right word, or encouraged in the scripture to pray for one another. And so I try to do it, and I'll go days that I won't do it, but primarily I target it.
Yeah. No, that's good. Well, I'll tell you, people are blessed to be on your prayer list if you've kept some of them for 22 years or more. Always, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Well, it's really fun when I run into them, you know, or hear something. I think, wow, great.
I know the last few years, you've had a couple of heart-related health issues and episodes. What's the Lord taught you? I mean, tell us about that, if you don't mind, and has the Lord taught you anything through that?
Yeah, he taught me, don't sweat it.
That's good.
I like scripture memory. And one of my favorite verses right now is fret not.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I like that one.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's fret, don't do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So the heart thing has taught me, because I had to go under and know I might not be back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just decided, que sera.
Yeah.
You know, God's got great promises. He says He's going to take me to heaven, and I'm going to get to, you know, have a great life with Him. And so I don't sweat it.
Yeah. You told the students today, I think the last thing you said to them as you walked off the stage was, don't back down.
Yes. I can't remember the artist. What was it? You don't remember it either, I bet you.
You're right.
But anyway,
Petty.
Teddy, yeah, you did remember. Tom Petty, yeah. He said, don't back down.
Yeah.
So at my age, I started thinking about, you know, people talk about, you know, doing different things, retire, slow down, so on. And I decided, I'll name drop here.
Yeah.
I told Joe Gibbs one time, I asked Joe, because we're involved in NASCAR racing, right. And I said, Joe, I said, let me ask you something. Would you rather play or coach? And he said, well, I'd rather. He said, I can't play. I'm old. I said, I didn't ask you that.
Yeah.
I said, what I asked you was, would you rather play or coach? And he said, I said, Joe, you can play. One thing about being a Christian, you can play till the day you die.
Yeah.
And so we don't have to sit in the stands. We don't have to wait on this or that.
Deal.
We can go get it. And that's the way I feel.
About can't hit a lick if you don't swing the stick.
That's it.
I heard you say that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've had a really lot of thought lately, and I'm decided I'm going to line up and go for it.
You remind me of the parable of the talents. The Lord, man goes into the far country. He hands out responsibilities, money, responsibilities. Yeah. Comes back and has a reckoning, and of the three that he gives a responsibility or money to invest only one of them gets criticized, and it's the one that refused to take a risk.
I know it. And what did he do?
He took it
and gave it to the first one.
He gave it to the first one. That's right.
Yeah.
So
it's...
Yeah, there is an element of risk-taking for sure, isn't there, in faith? I mean, it's you got to step out.
Yeah, I think there's a risk in not stepping out.
Yeah,
sure. I always try to figure out that what is the end result of my being, and I figured the end result of my being is that God's creative fulfillment in me, and I take it to feeling it, and it was like I expressed this morning. That we humans have a tendency to think that we'll be fulfilled if we fill up our bucket. But God, the Bible teaches, and God says that as you flow through, God flows through you like a funnel. Then the funnel is fulfilled. I'm getting probably crazy here, but if the funnel could feel, it would feel the ultimate fulfillment of God's creative intent for it. And that's what we are. At least that's what I think. That's what we are. That if the love of God goes through us, then we experience his creative intent, which is the most loving thing we could have if we get to be fulfilled in God for his design for us. Anyway.
Filled up to all the fullness of God is a Pauline expression. It's his prayer for the church and for the members of the church to be filled with all the fullness of God.
Well, everything you go through, it's, like we said about that scripture I mentioned today, 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love. From a pure heart, sincere faith, and clear conscience. So it's hard to have a motive.
Yeah.
If you have a pure heart, sincere faith, and clear conscience. And so I always think that God... I really believe he looks at the motive as much as he does anything. The result, he can get the result.
Sure.
What's our motive?
Sure.
And so what I pray is, God, help me love others the way you want me to love them. And then they'll get my love. I'll be obeying God. And at the same time, I'm a funnel. So I'm going to feel good about it all,
sure,
as God intends.
Sure. We're getting close to the end of our time, but I've got to ask you about one thing. I Am Second. That has been a campaign a saying, a logo, some advertising, and it's made a difference to people. Would you just talk about that a little bit? I am second.
Yeah, it was one morning. I don't even remember if I was praying or doing devotional, you know, Oswald or whatever. And the scripture came in my mind in Acts that you're to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all parts of the earth. And so I thought, well, have I, you know, well, this is, where's my Jerusalem? Well, it's, you know, North Texas. So I thought, well, if I've been a good witness, and I thought, well, yeah, I've been a pretty good witness. You know, I've been involved financially. I've helped stuff and, you know, a lot of things, orphans and, you know, mamas and stuff. Sure. And families, and also just, you know, Young Life and FCA and all that, Jesus Film. And so the next thought I had was, well, have you gone for broke? And I thought, well, I mean, I don't know if I've gone for broke. Well, does Christ need to be lifted up more in North Texas? And I thought, well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people wouldn't go to a church. And so, and it says, well, then can you do it? And I thought, well, yeah, I mean, I guess I'd do it. And they said, well, then do it. And it was funny because I remember that I said, you know, if I did it, I said, yeah, I'll do it. And then if I did it, what would it look like? But anyway, so we ended up, I called a ministry, E3 Partners, that I've been involved with. And because they had told me they'd had an advertising guy, and I thought, if I was going to try to sell more batteries in North Texas, what would I do? I said, well, I have employees and warehouses and trucks. So I thought, well, in the Christ and Christians, that we have the churches and ministries and people. And so I said, I'll call E3 Partners, and because they had a fellow that had been in advertising on a national basis. So I called them and said, let's have a little meeting, get together. And so they came, and I told them the whole I'm second thing that I knew to that extent. And they got pretty excited and said, well, let us think about it and I'll come back. And they came back, and they came back with this I'm second campaign. And it was interesting. He said, if I was going to try to sell more batteries, I would do advertising and promotion more. And then the next thing I thought was, wow, that's going to be a lot of money. And I thought, how am I going to know that this is what God wants me to do?
Yeah.
And it was really interesting because out of the all the times of my relationship with God in Christ, I've never had a physical feeling. And what I got was, just lift me up. The next thing came into my mind was, just lift me up. I'll draw all men to myself. And when that happened, I actually felt a physical release.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, that means I'm not responsible.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about it, because I would always, you know, I'm always concerned with using money for the kingdom of God. What's wise, you know, like you said about the parable.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, okay. And I don't have to worry about it. And so we hooked up and started with I'm Second. And we did a campaign. We made bus backs and billboards, and we actually did radio and television ads. We just went real big time after Dallas, and the response was phenomenal, and it went viral. And we ended up here. I felt like God was targeting me in North Texas. And in 6 weeks, we were in 50-something countries. And since then, that's been 8 years. Let's see, 9 years will be in December. And we've now in 220 countries. And we're hitting 18 million people a year are coming on the websites and all social media. And 1.5 million a month anyway. And there's all kind of things that have taken place that we just get a note on.
Sure.
Somebody contacts and say, hey, we did this and we did that. We're using it. Churches are making their own 3-minute little testimonies and showing them at every service. And so it's been amazing. Totally amazing that what, you know, at the time I thought was a North Texas deal, and then it ended up being a worldwide thing and lifting up Christ, which is, I have prayed for that, so hallelujah.
Sure. Well, it's an amazing story. I mean, you've wanted to be used, you prayed to be used, and the Lord's used you.
You got to be
willing to be used. And I like you mentioned earlier in a meeting, that great secular prophet
You're talking about the
Nike.
Yeah, the great prophet Nike. Just do it.
Just do it. Yeah. So just submit to the Lord and commit your ways to Him.
Well, I've had a fabulous life. Mm. My life is and has been an adventure in Christ. I mean, I've been all over the place. I've been door to door in Mexico, Costa Rica, Estonia. Mm. I showed the Jesus film in Moscow, Leningrad, or St. Petersburg, Albania. Albania. And it's just been amazing, actually. Wow. And I think back, I'm getting so old, I don't remember some stuff, and somebody will mention something. And I remember in Estonia, I ran across a Russian guy that was all disheveled, and his pants were too big for him, and we were doing evangelism door to door, and I can't think of the town in Estonia, Tirana, whatever it is. No, that's Albania. But anyway, so this guy, I went up to him, and he says, what do you want? We followed him and knocked on his door, and I said, well, I'm from Dallas, Texas, and we've been over, we prayed before we came, and God told us to go over here and see if people would like to know about God. Can we tell you about God? And he said, come on in here. So we go in there, and he showed me, he said, let me ask you something. And I said, okay. And he showed me an icon, and he says, this good or bad? And I remember thinking, I said, well, does it make you feel closer to God? He said, yeah. I said, well, he said it kind of, yeah. And I said, well, it's good. And he's asked me something else. Gosh, I can't remember. I get into a story. But the thing was, he asked me about how can God be three? Mm. You know, if God's one, how can God be three? And I remembered that somebody had told me, and I said, well, what about water, ice, and fog?
Yeah.
And he said, And I said, what about an egg?
Yeah.
I said, egg's one, right? But it's got a yolk and the white and the shell. That's three and one, right? He went like that. So I said, all right, tell me about God. There was another thing, I can't remember. And he had a buddy with him. They never said a word. Mm. So I went through the gospel with him and got it all the way down to receive Christ. And he said, and I remember smelling booze on him and everything. Mm-hmm. And he prayed to receive Christ. But before he prayed, I said, would you like to have Christ come in your life, forgive you your sins, and guarantee you eternal life? Mm. And he said, yeah. Then his friend said something in Russian, and he said he wants to, too.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I believe there could well be that result from your being on our campus today. You got to speak to a full house in our convocation chapel, mostly students, some faculty staff, and you told them about Christ. Thank you for being on the HBU campus. Thanks for letting us do this Think About It podcast.
Well, thank you.
We're grateful for your life. God bless you, Norm. Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.